Good evening. Before we go into tonight's message, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Blessed Holy Father, we thank you for this New Year's Eve service. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, to your covenant promises towards your people, who are all who trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, as Lord, for eternal life. We now humbly pray and ask that as we turn to your divine word, that you would encourage us, strengthen us, and increase the likeness of your Son within us, Lord, as we grow by your power, by your Spirit at work in our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, our text for this New Year's service is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, just one verse. We read, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, immediately you'll notice what our text does not say. Our text for tonight does not say, giving thanks always in spite of everything. That's not what it says. But isn't that the way we often give thanks to God? Well, so many things seem to be going wrong, but in spite of these problems, I'll give thanks to God for the good things in life. Our text, to the contrary, teaches us to give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, a few verses earlier in Ephesians 5, you read that to not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If we are in Christ, to give thanks always and for everything is a part of the Lord's will for us. Everything does not refer merely to everything we like or enjoy. Everything also includes things we do not like, things we do not prefer, difficulties, trials, hardships. In Christ, we are to give thanks to God for everything. For these things too, difficulties, trials, hardships, as well as our comforts and enjoyments. Why are we to give thanks to God for everything? Why should we give thanks to God for not only the good, but also the bad in our lives? Well, in his commentary on Ephesians, John MacArthur sheds light on the reason why we should, and this is what he writes. The Spirit-filled heart sees God's gracious hand in every circumstance and knows that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The spiritual believer sees God's wise and loving care in the difficulties and trials, as well as in blessing and prosperity. Brethren in Christ, as some of us know so well, we are immensely privileged as adopted children of God. We have been called to salvation by the gospel for God's eternal purpose. What is God's eternal purpose for us in Christ? Well, many of us know the answer to that question. His eternal purpose is for us to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Many of us in this congregation are intimately familiar with that purpose as it's taught in a passage like Romans 8, 28-29. So we read there. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Brethren in Christ, if our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, if we have placed our hearts' faith in Christ for eternal life, we know that God is working all things together for his purpose of making us like his Son, Jesus Christ. He'll bring that purpose to completion when we are glorified at the return of his Son, but he has already initiated that purpose in the present time, working all things together for its eventual fulfillment. So as far as our trials are concerned and our hardships are concerned, we know the answer why we are going through them. We know the answer. What is the answer? The answer is God is working all things together for the good of conforming us to the image of his Son. So if we are in Christ tonight, what we shouldn't be asking in regards to our troubles is, why is God putting me through these things? That's not the question we should be asking, because we know the answer to that question. Rather, the question that we should be asking ourselves is, what is God teaching me through these things that I'm going through? We know the answer as to why we're going through them. What we need to do, according to today's text, is focus on the what. What is the Lord teaching me through these trials? What specifically do I need to learn as I go through them? No doubt we are familiar with one of the most famous psalms in Scripture. That's Psalm chapter 23. And in verse 4 of Psalm 23, we read about the comfort of the Lord's rod and staff towards the sheep of his flock. Read in verse 4 of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The writer, Philip Keller, spent his youth watching shepherds in Africa and the Middle East. And he wrote a book about his experience. It's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And in that book, he tells us how the African herdsmen that he observed growing up, how they carried two sticks with them. One, a long, slender staff, and another, a rod. The staff was used for guiding the sheep, while the rod was used for disciplining them. Concerning the shepherd's rod, he writes, there's a second dimension in which the rod is used by the shepherd for the welfare of his sheep, namely that of discipline. If anything, the club is used for this purpose, perhaps more than any other. I could never get over how often and with what accuracy the African herders would hurl their knob carries at some recalcitrant beast that misbehaved. If the shepherd saw a sheep wandering away on its own or approaching poisonous weeds or getting too close to danger of one sort or another, the club would go whistling through the air to send the wayward animal scurrying back to the bunch. To be struck with the shepherd's knob carry must have stung the sheep, but it was very valuable because it kept them from wandering away from the flock or getting tangled in some poisonous weed. Consider what poisonous weeds we might have been entangled in if not for the sting of our shepherd's rod. Consider how the Lord has used his rod to drive us back into his fold when we were inclined to wander away from his spiritual nourishment, which he provides through his flock, away from what is truly good for us. J.C. Ryle writes concerning the Lord's purpose for our trials, there is nothing which shows our ignorance so much as our impatience under trouble. We forget that every cross is a message from God and intended to do us good in the end. Trials are intended to make us think, to wean us from the world, to send us to the Bible, to drive us to our knees. Is that the way we look at our trials? that in every cross that we endure, there is a message from God that is intended to do us good in Christ. I can speak from my own ample experience of the Lord's corrective rod, for which I am thankful, because I know that it was all for my good, as we read in Hebrews 12:11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. But perhaps tonight, for some of us, our trial has more to do with some unfulfilled desire of ours, a desire that is in and of itself lawful and perhaps even good, but for some reason God has withheld that desire from us. And yet, even in instances like that, if we are in Christ, if we are a part of his flock, if we have been redeemed by his blood, even a trial like that is good for us, is good for promoting our conformity to the image of Christ. Recently, my daughter has learned to use a kid's tablet, and she's had a blast playing with it, all the various apps and games. But because she started becoming consumed with the tablet, I noticed that my wife took it away from her for a time. See, we keep certain things away from our kids because they get consumed with them and they start neglecting more important things. How much more does God keep things back from us that would consume us, that would dominate our hearts and minds and draw us away from more important things, such as his sanctifying purpose for our lives? Have we considered, brethren, that we may not be ready for the thing we so earnestly long for? Perhaps in the midst of this trial, our Lord is training us to be humble, to find contentment with his provision, and to be thankful for what we have. Perhaps we're not ready, but the Lord is in the process of making us ready. And if that's the case, our lacking is for his good purpose, and we should be thankful for his training. Whatever it is that our Father is teaching us through our trials, we can be sure that our trials are for our ultimate good. We may not fully comprehend what he is teaching us through our trials at this very moment in time, but we will look back on them soon enough and realize how all of them were necessary for us. That's a testimony of our brethren in Christ who have gone before us in the faith. Speak with them. Some of them are in this room. Ask of their trials. Listen to their testimony of how they came to realize that all these hardships that they went through in life was actually for their spiritual good in Christ. Brethren in Christ, our text tonight teaches us to give thanks always and for everything to God the Father. It teaches us to give thanks always and for everything to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The name of our Lord Jesus is Savior. And it is through faith in him that we have been reconciled to God and have received the right as adopted children to his fatherly care. So it is fitting that we should thank God the Father for everything because we are in his sanctifying purpose to conform us to the image of his Son. Brethren in Christ, let us remember this new year and always to give thanks to God, not only for the things that we like and the things that we enjoy and the things that we prefer, but as our text teaches us, rather to give thanks always and for everything, because he is working all things together for his good purpose in us. Instead of grumbling and griping about our trials, let us humbly receive them for what they are for us in Christ, and seek to understand what his message is to us through those trials, what good and necessary things our Heavenly Father is teaching us through them for our spiritual fruitfulness and for his glory. Let's pray. Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have received such a glorious privilege and promise in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that promise is that for those who love God, who have been called according to your saving purpose, that you are working all things together for our good. And that good is the good of conforming us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We confess, Lord, that in many ways we fall far short of that glory that we will one day be conformed to in fullness when your Son, Jesus, returns. But we thank you, Lord, that even in this very moment of time, in this present life, you are working in us and you are transforming us, that we are in this process whereby you are purifying us and making us day by day from one degree of glory to another more and more like your Son, inwardly, within our character, in our various places, in our various occupations, in our various families and stations in life. And so, Holy Father, seeing that you are working all things together for our good, that we have received this redemptive promise, that we would give thanks always and for everything, not just the things that we enjoy and like, but for everything, because we see that even in our crosses, there is a message from you for us. We ask humbly, Lord, that you would help us to see what that message is. What exactly, Lord, you are training us to do and how you are working through our hardships and suffering to make us more like Christ. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.